Hey everybody, welcome back to this Microsoft Virtual Academy Jumpstart on package management and workflow automation. We are going to continue on. I'll show you the agenda here. Module 3, package management in Node.js and web apps. So we talked about machine package managers that get the programs on your machine that you run on your computer, right?
Like globally on your system, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But then Adam talked to us about NuGet and how we can actually pull packages in that are code or modules or libraries for our development projects, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
And that was for .NET applications. And now I'm going to be looking at how we do that with Node.js. So fundamentally, we're going to be talking about two things here. And actually, not just Node, but Node and web apps. So you know, mm-hmm. JavaScript apps, really. And so we're going to talk about two things, NPM and?
We're going to talk about Bower.
Bower. NPM Bower. And Bower. Those are going to be the two big concepts in this section, NPM and Bower, all right? So let's go ahead and dive into NPM. So NPM stands for, this is NPM, this is the section on NPM, and NPM stands for Node Package Manager, all right? There's a lot of things that it doesn't stand for, and they get a little bit cheeky on their website, and they give you a few ideas of things that NPM does not stand for, so that's always helpful. NPM installs with Node.js 9 times out of 10. I think it's possible to get them separate, but usually you don't. If you install one, you get the other. And that's good because Node is not very useful without NPM. Node, unlike applications that are based on the .NET framework, you know, the .NET framework gives you all kinds of functionality right out of the box. It's a big, robust framework that gives you really helpful functions that allow you to do all kinds of stuff right out of the box. Node doesn't work that way. Node is a very minimalist framework that leaves it up to the community to submit the packages that you're going to consume and use for your application.
Bite-sized pieces.
Yeah, bite-sized pieces. Yep. Yeah, as a basis of comparison, you saw the package management statistics for apt-get. There was something like 40,000 or something. Well, the package management repository, the main package management repository for NPM currently contains 135,000 modules the last time I checked. And it's growing all the time. Very popular, very strong community. So this public package repository exists at, it's actually at repository.npmjs.org is the address that your system goes to, but we can look at it by going to npmjs.org. Now this is the architecture that we're really looking at here. We're looking at an operating system on the bottom. We're installing Node on it. And then on top of Node, we have one-to-many apps, okay? Oftentimes we have many, many, many apps that are running on our system. And I have to tell you that Node kind of feels like it's got its one foot on one side, one foot on the other side of the line here in that Node.js is a really good platform for creating applications and then adding modules that enable that application to do a certain thing. But it's also a really good platform for me as a developer to get some command line tooling that I just use while I'm in design mode, while I'm in development mode. And so sometimes I'll install a module and I'll say, this is what my code is going to use. And other times I'll install a module and it's just a CLI. It's a command line utility that I'm going to use while I'm at the command line, all right? So that's the general architecture. But then one of these apps may have all of these dependencies underneath it. And this is much like the NuGet dependencies, by the way, and also much like the dependencies in Chocolaty or apt-get. And any good package manager is going to have to manage these dependencies for you. So as you can see, we have an app that's based on a bunch of modules. And then those modules themselves may be based on a bunch of modules. And this could go very, very deep. And that's the structure of it. But all of this, all of those modules, all the things with the hexagon icon there, are Node modules, and they're all sitting and running on top of Node. The nice thing about that is that Node is, for the most part, quite cross-platform. I mean, it's possible to create native modules that target a certain operating system, and then they just won't work on another one. But most of the Node modules are written in pure JavaScript, and so they're going to work regardless of the platform you're on. So that's really nice. Okay, so let's do a little demo and take a look at npmjs.org. I'm going to jump out to that. npmjs.org is a really helpful website because this is the UI that represents the repository that holds all of these modules. So look at that on the left. I guess it's been a day or two since I've looked at the number. It wasn't 135,000. It's now almost 137,000. So this thing's growing like crazy. In my opinion, the reason why this is growing so fast is because there is almost no hurdle to publishing your own NPM package. It's very, very easy to publish your NPM package. And I'll actually show you how to do that in just a second. It'll just be a couple of lines of code, honestly. So this website gives you information about how many downloads there have been. One of the helpful things that it does is it gives you information about the packages that are really popular right now. So let's look at the packages that people install a lot. Browserify is one of those, Express, PM2, Grunt CLI, NPM, Karma. All of these are modules that are getting installed a lot. So this I find helpful because if I look at something on this list and I go, huh, I've never heard of that one before, I'd better learn about it because thousands and thousands of people are installing it. There's probably really something to it. So look on this list. We've got NPM. We're talking about that today. We've got Gulp. We're talking about that today. Grunt. We're talking about that today. Yo. We're talking about that today. And so a lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking about are in this list of the most popular modules. You can also get a list of the recently updated ones, the ones that the most people have dependencies on. So for instance, you see up in this like very popular list, there's not very much. Lodash doesn't make it up here, but Lodash, which is an incredible library, is one of the most depended upon libraries. Lodash is awesome, by the way, and you should definitely check that one out. And I can by simply clicking on these and then getting a little bit of high-level information about what this module does. What pain does this ease? What problem does this solve? And this page here is intended to just basically give me an overview of that, okay? That one's all about Lodash. That's npmjs.org. Next, we're going to get a demo of NPM itself. Okay. Now, this is almost entirely done from the command line. I imagine that there are GUI tools for it, but I don't use them. I don't think anybody uses them. So we're, for the most part, going to be doing this from the command line. So I left something here while I was playing with it. Let me go ahead and clean up a little bit. Okay. So we've got ourselves an almost empty folder. We've got ourselves an empty folder. There you go. So let me just hide all that from you. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Now we're going to be playing with NPM. Like I said, NPM it's critical that you know NPM if you're using Node, because Node applications inevitably will have modules that are built into them. And what I want to do is I want to show you a few of the NPM commands first, and then we're going to go through the creation of a Node application and use a number of NPM commands in order to support that. So one of the NPM commands is simply install. So I can NPM install, let's say, Express. Now, if I install Express, it goes to the repository, and remember, repository.npmjs.org, but it's actually registry.npmjs.org. It goes there, and it finds the latest version of Express, and it installs it. Now, I installed that locally because I typed NPM install Express. Now, if I do an ls now, you'll see that I have a subdirectory right here called node modules. That's what it calls it by default. That can be changed, but that's what it calls it by default. I'm going to change into node modules and list, and you can see I have a folder for Express. Change into that and list, and you can see that I have all of what makes up the Express library. Okay? Many of these are going to have this lib folder. And the lib folder is going to contain usually the root of that application. But back here on the application level directory, I've got, look at that, another node modules folder. So I downloaded a module and it contains submodules. So let me go into that one and look. And these are the dependencies of the Express module. Express is a minimalist web framework for Node.js, very, very popular for creating websites on Node.js. And as you'll see in a minute, because we're going to be creating a very, very simple website, it's very, very easy. I can make a website in just a few lines of code, and then I can start adding middleware to it and adding a lot of functionality. But despite the fact that it's a very minimalistic framework for creating websites, it also has quite a few dependencies. So you'll run into this a lot. A lot of your node modules will have a number of dependencies because the developers said, you know what, at this point we just really need, for instance, the fresh module. So they went and installed the fresh module and made it a dependency of this node module. Okay, let's go back up to the root directory here. We installed Express right where we were at, and it just created this node modules folder. That's all it did. Now, if we want to create an application, we would probably be doing that inside of our application folder, because as you can see, it made it right where we are at. So it really matters whether you are on the whether you're in your application directory yet or not. You need to be inside of your project folder when you do that npm install. Now, that differs from a global install. If for some reason, although this doesn't make very much sense, I wanted to install Express globally instead of installing it right here for this application, then I would do npm install Express, just like I did before, but then I would add dash g. And the order of these doesn't matter too much. I could actually get these out of order and it's going to work just fine. And I'm not going to run this because I don't like the effect. It's going to put Express into my user folder. It's going to actually put it up under users and then my username and into the npm folder. It's the global repository or the global location from all of my packages that I've installed, and I don't actually want it there. But that's how you install things globally. Now, when I specify a name here like Express, it's going to look in the registry for a module with the name of Express. But npm is pretty flexible as to where you get these packages. And so I could install it from Express, but I could also, if I know where Express is on GitHub, this is the username and this is the GitHub repository, I can npm install directly from GitHub. And it's going to go to GitHub, it's going to look at the files in GitHub and make sure that this is a valid node module, and it's going to install it from there. So let me actually delete, see I still have node modules, let's do an npm install, and I want to install strongloop, spell it correctly, Express. It's going to look at GitHub, make sure that it's valid, pull that down, and I've got Express installed directly from GitHub. I didn't even use the repository. So this is handy. You might be working with a team. You might have a GitHub repository that you're all working with, and you just want to tell somebody, well, just grab that from the GitHub, and they can install it directly from the GitHub. You don't have to publish it into a repository at all. So that's that command. There are a lot of other commands. You can use the git URL directly, but that's not very helpful, and I'm actually going to skip it. Now, once I've installed this, you can see it has that node modules folder. I have the ability to npm ls, and that lists the current, the current modules recursively. So it's going to show the dependencies of the application that we're in, and it's also going to show their dependencies, and it draws all these lines so that you can see this is exactly how Express is structured. Express has a dependency on accepts, and that has a dependency on MIME types, which has a dependency on MIMEDB. And you can see the version that all of those are at. Very helpful to be able to list those out. Now, if I installed Express by doing npm install Express, and I did that, you know, a few weeks ago, it may be updated by now. They may have iterated that, and I can simply say npm update Express, and it's going to go out and look and see if I have the latest version and make sure that I have the latest version installed right here. Do be careful with this one and make sure that you don't have dependencies on certain versions for your application. There are ways to say, I need this module, but I need it at a certain version, and then it will always install that version from npm so that even if the owner of that library updates it and publishes that, you don't accidentally automatically get the updated version and then break your stuff. Okay, let's look at remove. I've added the Express library here, as you can see inside the node modules, and now I can just simply npm remove node modules. It takes that out. I can ls, I still have my node modules folder, but if I go look inside of it, I still have the Express folder. I must have missed something there. Let's try this again. npm remove Express unbuild. Okay, and it didn't do that for me last time. Last time it said not install. Oh, I was inside the node modules folder when I attempted to run that command. Remember, I told you it's important to know which folder you're in. So now if I cd into node modules and list Express, the entire folder is completely gone now. Okay, well now let's look at NPM and NIT. Now NPM and NIT sets up, it's gonna create a file, a critical file called package.json. And it's gonna create it right here where we're at. So it's assuming that this is the project directory. It's not in our case, we've just been kind of messing around inside of this MVA folder. So let me remove that node modules folder. We have nothing in here now. And now let's go ahead and make a directory called my node app. There we go. My node app is a directory that exists. I can cd into it. There's nothing inside of it. But I can npm init right here. Now this might ring a bell. You might know the command git init. That will create a repository out of wherever we're at right now. And npm init is similar, but what it's not creating a repository, it's creating a package. It's saying, I am a package. And so it does that by creating a package JSON file. Well, if you just say npm init, it walks you through this little wizard and says, well, what's the name of this? I suggest the whatever name you gave this folder that you're in. Yeah, that sounds good. What version? Well, I recommend that you roll this for the first version, even if it's just to 0.1.0. And you have to use, you need to use the SEMVer, the semantic versioning convention. But I recommend that you roll this to 1, because as soon as it goes to 1, then this package qualifies for being published into the stores. There's a good chance that you're just playing with this, it's not gonna get published, and you could just leave it at 0, but if you wanna go ahead and give it a preliminary minor build there, then it's gonna be ready to go. Description, this is the coolest, too many spaces, the coolest node module ever.
Ever.
Ever. What's the entry point? Well, I haven't written any JavaScript files yet, but I like to call mine app.js. So there we go. What's the test command? Ignore that. What's the Git repository? Let's skip that. Keywords. How do I want people to find this when they're looking in the repository? Well, definitely by the word cool. I don't have that in the description. And definitely awesome. And definitely stellar. So now anybody that's searching for a stellar module is going to find mine. Now, the Apache 2 license is the default for me because I've chosen that. There's a file called .npmrc that's in your user profile. And that npmrc determines your npm login. I'll show you that in just a second, so don't worry about that. And it also determines some of your defaults. So I've set my default license to Apache 2, and then I can choose from there. That just tends to be my most common one. Now, I'm listing, and I'm showing you that I have created a package JSON file. Let's type that out. And that is a name, my node app. A version, the 0.1.0. The description, the starting point is a variable called name, and I chose to start at app.js. Now what scripts? And by default, there's a test script, and that test script is not specified, so this is gonna throw an error. I also have some keywords that I added. It left off the Git repository because I left that blank, but it has information about me as the author, and it has my license that I've chosen. So that's the package JSON file. Remember, my entry point was app.js, so I certainly want to create an app.js right now. I'll do that the quick way by just saying touch app.js. I now have an app.js. So that's npm init, and this is now a valid npm package. It's ready to go up to npm right now. It's kind of silly because I don't even have anything typed into my app.js. So let's go ahead and do that. And I'm going to take this opportunity to kind of show off some of the other NPM things like install and update and remove and so on, as well as a couple more features. So let's go write ourselves an app. I'm going to use Vim and just stay right here in the console. I'm not even going to jump out into a Windows text editor. I'm just going to stay right here. And the first thing that I want, is to go into insert mode. Thank you, Vim. And I want to var app equals require express. Now, if you don't know very much about Node, what I've done here is essentially an import or an include. I've done the equivalent of a C# using. And I've told it I want to bring in express. Only the difference is that it actually returns something and I store that here in app. And what it returns is a function. And for this one, I actually want to call that function. So this is the way I'm going to start my express app, is by calling the results of this require, calling that function, and storing the result in app. Okay? So I now have an app. And that's the only line I'm going to add right now. So I'm going to WQ and now list, and you see the little files with the tildes. Those are swap files and undo files for Vim. You can just ignore those. But notice that my app.js is now 35 bytes in length. I can type that. There it is. And now I am ready to node app.js, node app.js. So I'm executing app.js, and it's saying I can't find the module express. I haven't installed it. I referenced it in my JS file. I said require express, but I haven't installed it. I haven't brought that in yet. So I need to do that. Now, is this a global or is this a local package that I want to install? Or rather, do I want to install this package globally or locally? The fact is I want to install that locally.
So when do you make a determination on whether you want to go global or local?
Am I going to use Express myself at the command line as a tool, as a utility, and whether I'm in this folder or any other folder? If so, then I want to install that globally, and then it's always available to me. By the way, if it's global, then I'll be able to use it from inside my application because it will resolve to that global location. But that would be dangerous because now I'm going to publish my application and they're not going to have that dependency that I happen to have. So if it is a dependency of the application, you need to do it local. And in fact, you need to do what I'm going to show you now and not just install Express, but install Express and tell NPM. And by the way, I'm not just willy-nilly installing this. This is a dependency of this application. So I do that by saying save it. Okay, store that in the information. Where do you suppose it's going to store that information? It's going to store it in the package.json file. So if I type out that package.json file, look at what this just did for me. It just said this package is dependent on Express, and this semantic here means, and I need at least the current version, which is 4.12.3 as of the time that I just did this install. I could change this if I want to, but that's what this code means, is at least 4.12.3, and now it's going to go, if I go restore the packages, kind of like you did with NuGet, it's going to know that it needs a certain version, and if it's not available for some reason in the repository, like maybe you're connected to a different repository, it's going to throw an error and say, I'm dependent on a certain version and you don't have it.
Very cool.
Okay, so Express is one of the things that I'm creating as a dependency. Let's create something else. Let's create, instead of just Express, let's say we also want to use request and Lodash and say socket.io. I can string all those into one and say and save all those. I know I'm going to have those as dependencies. So there they are. This will take a little while because all three of those are somewhat significant libraries. And what you see now is not only the installation of those, but all of their dependencies. And sometimes that's a lot of modules that people have depended on. Let's go look in the node modules folder now, and you can see Express, Lodash, Request, Socket.io. Great, they're all in there.
And it could be dependencies of dependencies.
That's right. and we could see those by looking inside there. But if I type out this package file, you'll see that they were all added as dependencies in there too, and that's because I use the dash dash save. By the way, I have determined that the word dash is kind of difficult to say, as is underscore. So I hereby propose that instead of saying dash, we say bar. That's easier to say. And instead of saying underscore, we simply say score. What do you think?
I have to think about that.
Okay. You think about that. Get back to me. You guys drop a comment or something like that. Tell me what you think. It's dash, 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 underscore dash. It's tough. Okay. Yeah, I'm calling that tough. We probably have viewers from other countries that are struggling to understand the basics of what we're saying. But okay, so you saw how I saved dependencies, and I'll show you the real value of saving those dependencies in a minute. But you know what? We're going to be using some other modules, some node modules, as a developer. These aren't dependencies of the application. We just want to use them as we're developing. Maybe we want to use the Mocha test suite. So we'll install Mocha. And we'll install Gulp, which you'll talk about in a little while.
I will.
And Gulp.js hint. And let's say we want Gulp JSCS. Okay? Those are the dev modules that I want. But when I send this to production, it doesn't need those. I only need those for my own tooling. So instead of save, I'm going to save dev. And what that's going to do is after it's done this whole install, because it is installing those locally right now, after it's done this whole install, I'm going to be able to type that package.json file, and these are some pretty big packages, so this will take a little while, but I'll be able to type out that package.json file, and it'll have added not just dependencies, but dev dependencies. Now, the reason why those are differentiated is this. I've got my MyNode app folder here, right? Let's say I'm going to deploy this to production. I'm going to send this out to another server. Well, remember how you were saying, well, let's not check in all of our binaries.
Right, right.
Well, likewise, we don't have to even deploy all of our binaries. We'll let the destination look at the package JSON and say, here's what I need. I better go get it. And so it'll go out and get it. So let's simulate that by creating another folder. So I'm going to make directory MyNode app. Oops, I already have that one. MyNode app 2 is what I meant to say. So MyNode app 2 now exists. And then let's look at the files that I have. I want to copy app.js to MyNode app 2. And I want to copy package.json to MyNode app 2. All right, now let's change directory to MyNode app 2. And list, and look at that. I've just deployed to the server. And by server, I mean this folder that's right next to me, but your imagination can do the rest. But all I've deployed is an app.json and a package.json, or app.js and package.json. That's it. So now here, I need to restore the packages. Now, if I say npm install, now notice normally you've seen me say something like npm install gulp, a certain package. But if I leave that off, npm says, well, you didn't specify a package, so I'm going to assume that what you mean is you want me to look at the package JSON, determine what all the dependencies are, and install those. And there's a really helpful flag here called production, --, production. I'll start using it. You see how it sits. npm install --, production. Now, what that does is it says, I'm putting this in production, so I don't need those dev dependencies. So when I execute this, don't you love it when mass amounts of code are scrolling by the screen and it makes you feel like you're in the Matrix?
As long as there's no errors, no red
text. As long as there's no red text. We want white text. No whammies. Okay, so let's ls now, and I've created node modules. Let's look in there and see what it created for me. Ah, just my dependencies. Now, if I said npm install, then once again, we get the geek code here. This is what you want to have on your screen whenever somebody is like walking by, because it makes you look important. Like, man, how does he handle all that text?
Just waiting for this to finish.
Yeah. Okay, so it's done. Now let's cd into node modules and list, and now you can see that we even have our dev dependencies installed here. And certain modules, like gulp, for instance, they're required to be not only installed locally, but also installed globally, because there's different components to it, there's different stuff that you want to use. So, there's one more thing I wanted to show you, and I forgot what the command is. I didn't write it down. Let me see about... No, it's not going to help me out there. Anyway, there's a way to see what the dependencies are, what the modules are that you have installed locally. Not the ones that are available in the repository, but just the ones that you've put local, but that seems to have escaped me right now. So,
does list work?
Does that work? I think list is an alias for ls, and I think that gives you... Oh, you know what it is? It's the depth. So it is showing me that right now, but if I say list and I set the depth, I think it's depth to 0. There we go.
Oh, look at that.
That's what I was looking for. Thank
you.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, so that basically collapsed that really big tree, and it only showed me the top level of things that I have installed locally right now. I could do the same thing globally, and you'd see what my global modules are. So you can see that I currently have gulp at 3.8.11 installed globally. I also have some other really helpful tooling. So Azure CLI, with Azure CLI, I can completely interact with all of Azure without even having to go log into the portal or anything. Blue Sky is a wrapper around the Azure module that allows me to do file streaming to Azure Storage, really super slick. And there's a few other ones that I've got installed there, some of which we'll talk about later. Okay, so that's it for npm. Let's go back to the slides, and I want to talk to you about NPM version managers. Now, with some frameworks, this isn't as easy to do, but with Node, Node is a relatively small assembly, and it's pretty easy to swap it out for a different version whenever you need to, as opposed to being kind of dependent on having the latest version and only using that to run all of your code. And this is done by way of Node version managers. So there are a lot of popular version managers like Nodenv, NVM, but then on Windows, the one to use is Nodist. There may be others that work on Windows, but Nodist is kind of the one to use on Windows. They kind of all work the same, and they're really simple and easy to understand. They just allow you to really quickly and easily swap out. You can download the versions of Node that you want to have locally, and then you can swap them out, and you can determine which one is active. So let's take a look at this. And with Nodist, I've got some notes here, I apologize. With Nodist, let's go ahead and jump back to our command line. Now, actually, I would go to, in order to install this, you go to the GitHub, and then you go to this guy who wrote Nodist. Lots of respect points going to the guys that have written stuff like this that's so incredibly useful. And he walks you through the installation of this. And this is the instructions for installing it. It's a little bit funny. It's all pretty straightforward. It's just kind of a manipulation of some paths and stuff in order to make this work right. He said that there is a fancy install using Chocolaty, of course, but he has not encouraged the use of this yet. They're still working on it. I have not tried this yet, but I think that you could go ahead and try that, give it a try. But if you haven't installed Nodist yet, I didn't want to obliterate the installation of Nodist that I have already, so I haven't even tried that. So use that at your own risk. But that's how to install Nodist. Now, when you're on the, wherever you're at, it doesn't matter where you're at, you can type Nodist, and this is going to give you a list of the versions that you have installed and let you know which one is currently active. That's the one with the caret over here on the left, okay? So currently, Node.js 12.1 is active on my system, right? Now, I can set the active version by saying Nodist 0.11.0, and now that one's the active version. There we go. So I just switched out versions of Nodist. They're both on the machine, and I can switch between those as much as I want. Now, notice that it has in parentheses the word global. That means that Node is being used everywhere, but you can also say Nodist local, and then the number, so I could change back to that using local, and that's going to set the Node version per directory, including subdirectories. So this directory that I'm in, this my Node app 2, is going to be using Node version 12.1, but all of the other ones are not. The rest of them are going to be using that global command of 0.11.1. Besides local, you can also specify that you want this to be for the environment, which sets it per terminal. So this session is going to be using Node 12.1, but if I close this or open a new session, it's going to be using the global 0.11.0. Okay, so let's show you the next command, which is Nodist R and then the version. So let's say 0.1 or 12.1, and then dash dash app.js dash s. Now this relatively lengthy, and by relatively lengthy, it still looks awfully short compared to some other scripting languages. But what I've done is I've specified that I want to run, just like I'm saying Node app.js, but I want a Node app.js using a certain version of Node. So this will allow me to run app.js, but with a certain version of Node. Now if I want to install certain versions of Nodist, I can say Nodist plus, and then the version that I want. So if I want 10.0, and in case you're not familiar, the versions that end with a zero are stable, or with an even number are stable, and if they end with an odd number, those are instable, not stable releases. So if I want to add 10.0, I do so, and this is sometimes a relatively lengthy process. That was 7 seconds. That's considered lengthy these days. And now if I look at the number of versions that are installed, 10 is now in that list. So I can determine which ones I want to have down here. I can, by the way, say all, but that's going to download all of the versions of Nodist, and I don't think that's a good idea. I'm sorry, all of the versions of Node, and I don't think that's a good idea. Now finally, I can minus 0.10.0, and it'll take that one away, and then if I look, that one's no longer there. Okay, so what I want to do is, we've talked about NPM, we've talked about switching between versions. I just want to go kind of full circle on this app that I started creating. You can see that I have my Node app and my Node app 2. I want to go into my Node app, and I want to vim app.js. And in here, I want to go ahead and implement an Express application. So I've required it, I've installed it, so it exists, and now I want to go ahead and finish it. So I can say app get, and this is a route. So if somebody requests this website using just the root directory, I want to use this function to handle that. And I want to listen on port 3000. And what I want to do here is, for the response, I want to send hi world. Okay, 4 lines of code, and I've just written a web server using a very good, popular, terse MVC framework called Express, and I've defined a route, and I'm sending hi world to that route. Let's go ahead and write that out. And now let's node app.js. It's now running. I didn't say anything, so I didn't console log that I'm running, so you don't see anything, but it is running. But let's go ahead and show you a trick for running that another way. If you're in Windows, you can start node app.js, and it's going to open it in a console window separate, and so it's not taking up your session here. You're now back to PowerShell, and you're ready to go. Now this is asking me if it wants to allow this in my current network configuration, and that's okay. And now, because I have this console here running, I should be able to do a get from HTTP, localhost, 3000, and it should return to me, hi world, look at that. And I can also see that in the browser. Whoa, if I type it right. Hi world.
Cool.
So that's that little tiny Express application that I got to by simply requiring Express, installing Express locally, and that's kind of fun. Okay, so let's exit out of this. We're now done with NPM. That's how to do package management for Node. And now we're going to talk about how to do package management for websites. And I should preface it by saying some people use NPM for both. If you want to discuss that, you can.
Sure. Let's go in the Bower and then put a little asterisk and say that with Bower, which we're going to look at in hopefully good enough detail for you to hit the ground running, Bower and the folks for NPM, from my understanding, have been working together to come up with some kind of mutually beneficial solutions here. So you'll find that some folks use NPM, some folks use Bower. You'll find that there's sometimes a crossover between. So let's get rolling on Bower and. What is Bower? Bower is a package manager that is optimized more for front-end dev, and most of the packages that you'll see out there for Bower are for front-end web development. It's interesting because Git repositories are really the back end. When you register something in Bower, you essentially are giving it some Git repository. It could be hosted wherever that Git repository happens to be. It could be on GitHub, it could be your own Git installation, but that is really the back end for it. You can use the command line. There is some tooling in Visual Studio we'll look at that kind of helps out a little bit. We're going to do most of our work at the command line, though. And this is probably important, and why another package manager. Some of the Bower support is being stressed, I think, going forward in the new ASP.NET version 5 templates. And you'll find that Bower is very, very, very common in the front-end world. In the Microsoft ecosystem, sometimes we're so used to, you know, the .NET world's awesome, but we're very used to our ecosystem, so to say. And then sometimes we talk to other folks who might not be in that ecosystem. They're using other tools that are very well-baked, and they love and have a lot of great features. So this allows us to bring in some of that tooling that has been used by bazillions of developers around the world and integrate them into our workflow in or outside of Visual Studio. It doesn't matter. Now, one thing to know is that Angular, Bootstrap, and Normalize all use Bower, so you'll find the package distributed there. And this is a community tool. This is not a Microsoft tool. This is a community tool that exists outside of any editor. You can do it fully at the command line, or you can use some integration with the editor. I'll show you a little bit of integration with Visual Studio today. Do you have to use it? No, it's another tool, but I recommend you just spend an hour or two learning it. You can pick up the API really, really fast, and hopefully from what I show you with Bower here and what we're going to talk about with Grunt and Gulp later, you'll understand how the full workflow kind of fits together. So files and folders. As Jeremy talked about with things going to the Node components folders, you get Bower components. You'll definitely see some crossover, some similarities between some of the terms and even commands that we're using here. For example, you were using npm install, you can use a Bower install. We'll talk about some of the API shortly. But packages by default, when you install them, go into a Bower components folder. That folder location can be overridden with a Bower RC file. And you were talking about the
NPMRC file?
NPMRC file, so definitely you'll see some of these kind of crossover there. All the settings go into a bower.json file, and there's a beginner tip here I want to show you, and we'll explore this when we look. When you install a Bower packet, sometimes you get tons of source code. When you install a NuGet package, usually it's everything that you need right now for your app. You'll find that because you have a Git repo on the back end, that it'll pull down that whole repo. So a lot of times you'll get files that you don't need. Like, why did this pull down 500 plus files for jQuery when I need one file out of there? And so we'll talk about how to integrate and get the files that you need out of that. So, okay, let's talk about the most important file here to start, bower.json. This is simply a manifest file. This defines what is going to, what Bower needs to look for. And that's settings and dependencies that you install. You will use the bower.json file in your package in your application, as well as all the dependencies that you install, also have a bower.json. Now, the one thing to really keep in mind is that you will use bower.json and all of your dependencies will use bower.json. You don't have to use bower.json, I guess, but you're not going to get any sort of dependency tracking. Just like Jeremy was saying, when you save your dependencies, you want to be able to restore them. If you don't use a bower.json file, you're not going to be able to restore your dependencies. They're going to install into your Bower components folder, and nobody will know who's using what. So you want to make sure that you save these dependencies out using the command line, --save, and we'll look at that shortly. What did you say dash should be?
Bar.
Bar.
Yeah. Bar. Let's call it bar.
Bar, bar, save? I don't know. That's confusing. All right. To create a Bower JSON file, we can run bower.init. We'll look at this shortly. I can't stress this enough. When I first downloaded Bower, I'm like, wait a minute, we have so many files here. What do I need? And we're going to look at this main file. This guy right here in our bower.json file. Look for that main, and that tells you everything you need. And we're going to look at this in when we go to the Grunt side, we're going to look at how we can actually pull those files out and use them. Okay, let's look at installing Bower and the packages. So let's go to the good old command line here. Notice how I got this transparent background, this new thing I learned from Jeremy today, right? In fact, I'm going to do an Alt-Enter to go full screen, because I kind of like that look here too. And let's make a directory, we'll call this Bower Start. Okay, go into that folder. One thing that Bower requires, let's go to, first of all, the website here. Bower.io is a website. If you want to search for packages using the website, you can search for it here. They list the API, what you need to do to install it. Install it globally, npm install -g. Now, this here, Bower requires Node and npm. So that is a requirement. You need to install Node, which comes with npm. If you have an old version, you can ideally you'll want to update npm at the command line to be the latest version. But if you go out today and install it, you'll be fine. And Git. And so with Git, download, if you're on Windows, download msysgit. Just download it, install it. And since Bower uses Git on the back end, it needs to be able to find that. If you don't have it installed and you try to run Bower, you'll get an error to command line. If you want to search for packages, you can come in here and say, you can see right here, Angular, Bootstrap, etc. And you can see how many stars and when they were last updated on here. So assuming that you have msysgit installed, let's go over to the command line here. Get that as the background. It's a little more white here. And let's do npm. So this actually uses Node to get Bower installed to start. Npm install Bower. Now, if we have our own package.json file, we would do dash dash save, which is ideal. Give it a second here. The carrier pigeons will leave the building, go out, and they will pull down that package. And so this is going to install Bower for our use. Now, when we pull down Bower components, we're going to find that those will get installed into our Bower components folder, as I mentioned. And let's do explore dot here. Okay. This is a node module to start. As such, this has come down to our node modules folder. So we'll keep this open in the background here. Clear our screen. And let's do a, now that we have Bower, first thing we want to do is, I'll show you kind of the potentially incorrect way, so to say. Let's do Bower install jQuery. And you can see this is mapping out to a GitHub URL, jQuery, and a particular version, and it's going to install it. And if we look here, now we have a Bower components folder and jQuery. Let me just go to Alt Enter, get all the properties here. And we see that we've got 90 files here. Now, when you install jQuery, do you want all these various files here?
I do not.
And I should say, when you use jQuery, I should say, you know, how do you know what to map to? And this is where I was talking about. If you look at the bower.json file here, and if you look at the main, that tells you, that's the one file that you'll probably want to use under the dist folder slash jQuery.js. So if I look under the dist folder, and I can see there's a minified version, a map for debugging my minified version, jQuery.js, there's the main version. So that's pretty easy right there. The mistake that I made was that I didn't save my dependencies out here. So I have, first of all, I have no bower.json file. So let's go ahead and create that. And for that, we can do a bower init. What's our name? I'm going to accept all defaults here. Keywords. Do you want to set your currently installed components as dependencies?
That's helpful.
This is helpful. So if you've installed a bunch of things and haven't realized that you've created your bower.json file yet, this will basically look to see what you have and automatically install them as dependencies.
I don't think NPM does that.
See, this is one cool thing here. So I'm going to say yes, add commonly ignored files to the file list, certainly. Would you like to mark this package as private so you don't accidentally publish this out to the world? Yes, that's helpful too. Does that file look good? It does. So let's go back over here, and we look at this bower.json file. Okay, there's all the defaults that I specified here. What to ignore, this is good. We want to ignore node modules, bower components. And here's my dependencies. Now, if this happens to be if I'm installing a development package, then I would use my dash dash save dash dev, and we'll look at that a little bit later. But here's my dependencies right here. If I want to install other packages on here, let's do, I'll tell you what, let's do something slightly different here with this guy. Let's say there's some package out there on the net that I think is pretty cool, and I'm going to be using it for development. I'm just using any GitHub repository here, not one that is supposed to be used with Bower, not one that's published with Bower. Installing this. This happens to be part of ASP.NET. This is not anything that's typically meant to be used with Bower. I just want to show you can actually pull anything in here. This is a github.com/ASP.NET/hosting.git, and that pulled down 1.0.0. And now if I go back and I look at my bower.json file, you can see at the command line, I did dash dash, not bar, dash dash, save dash dev. And this listed this here as a dev dependency. It's the same type of thing. When we go to production or when we install our packages, we can choose the command line which ones we want to restore. And we're actually going to look at that shortly. We can come in here and also we can say, let's install Bower install jQuery. We can specify versions on here, so pound quotes, and we'll do less than 2.0.0. And what did I mess up here? Hmm. Anything in the syntax jumping out at you, Jeremy?
No. Don't know what's wrong.
Something in this, I think I messed up here. Yeah, I think it's something in my syntax on this. Let's see if there's one OO out there. All right, perfect. So this is kind of the issue that I wanted to see here. Notice it's saying, hey, you don't have this particular version available. Here are the particular versions. So let's go out there and install version 2. Now, we get this issue here. It says, hey, we kind of have a problem here because you've got 2.0.1 installed. There's 2.1.3, which is currently installed, and this is required in your bower.json file. Which one do you want to use? So I'm going to cancel out of this. I just want to show you, this gives you some kind of smart checking when you go and try to overwrite packages or install different versions on there. So it kind of gets some smart things going here, which really helps you out in the workflow. IntelliSense that you get in bower.json in Visual Studio 2013, and you use this with this really cool plugin. Package IntelliSense, search for online NPM and Bower packages directly. So this also works in your package.json for NPM. This works in your bower.json for Node as well. So this is cool. You download this. This works in Visual Studio. In 2015, that is actually automatically built in. So we'll check that out in 1 second here. That allows your helpers to automatically appear in your bower.config. I'm sorry, in your bower.json. That should actually say bower.json here. My bad in the typing here. Let's look at some common commands that you'll hit at the command line and go back to our lovely command line here. And what we're going to do is, we did a bower init already, right, to create our file. Let's look at bower list. And we've got this ASP.NET one. We've got jQuery. We can do a bower search. Let's search for Bootstrap, for example. A whole lot of them out there. So you can search. I kind of prefer going through the website here or the tooling in Visual Studio, which I'll show you in 1 second here. Another thing that we can do here, let's talk about the package restore procedure. So in here, we've got literally this, our node, bower.json, and our bower components. Let's go ahead and destroy our bower components folder. So this is intentional. We're moving our app to production just to make this look like a real website. Let's do index.html. There, we've got a website. this is going to go to production now. I could even blow that guy away, assuming that I want to create my package.json file, which I didn't before, but I could create my package.json in here. And bower install. There we go. If we look in our Bower components folder, we've just installed both dependencies. The other thing, kind of to Jeremy's point before, we could do Bower install
dash dash production,
or I think Bower gives you a shortcut. You can do either. You can
probably
do dash dash p. And now, if we look at what got installed in Bower components, just that jQuery. So, all very good. Let's look at an example. Let's go to let's make this easy. Let's open up Visual Studio 2013. And let's create a new project. We'll do an empty website here. And let's go ahead and bring our bower.json and our empty, really, index.html into this website. Now the path, I didn't pay attention to actually where I created this, so this might be slightly detrimental here at the command line. Yeah, because sometimes these paths get really long with a big font at the command line.
No, you can right-click on that and go to File Explorer.
Yeah, I just wanted to see here the real length of this, because this is going to show up on the command line here. So let's go, we're going to go ahead and use some of the integrated tooling for this, but we still need to initialize this here. We still need to install Bower here. So let's go ahead and open our command line here. Yeah, that's a little long, so bear with me. We'll just run a couple commands here. We'll do npm install Bower. And this is going to tell essentially this project and the tooling in Visual Studio. So the only thing that I've done here with Visual Studio is I've installed in 2013 the package IntelliSense plugin here. Okay, so Bower is installed here. Now let's go over to my web application, open up my Bower JSON file, and I see my various dependencies listed here. And now notice. Install package, update package, open home page in Bower, browser, April 1st, right? It's the day of getting tongue-tied. You're all giddy and tongue-tied.
No, that's just you.
It is just me. You should see us during the breaks. I think being April 1st, we're laughing like crazy and it messes you all up. So I can open up this location in the browser. I can click in here, I get these little helpers, and I can say update package. Also note that you get this kind of IntelliSense here. So if I want to install Bootstrap, for example. Bootstrap. And what versions do I want here? Notice the current latest version, most recent major version. I can do the most recent minor version. We'll do this version right here. As soon as I save this, look at the bottom, running npm package restore. I'm going to show all files here in Visual Studio. And open up my Bower components folder, and notice Bootstrap's there now. If I come over here and I say uninstall package, and I go ahead and I refresh this, Bootstrap's gone. Same thing at the command like I can do with Bower install and Bower uninstall package. So Bower install Bootstrap dash dash save. Come over here, refresh this guy. Okay. I can do the exact same thing with Bower uninstall Bootstrap. So it just makes it a little bit easier kind of working through the GUI here. It gives you some added commands onto there. We saw that we can destroy our folder and we can automatically restore that just by running a Bower install or Bower install dash dash p or dash dash production if you really like typing it out. The commands are really simple. There's an API list on the Bower website, just a few basic commands that kind of get you rolling. We look real quick at the Visual Studio tooling. What is going on today? This is a crazy day. Visual Studio tooling. In fact, let me show the tooling in 2015 as well. Let me copy out this location here, and I will just open this up in 2015. It's basically the same thing. You just get a little bit, the helpers look a little slightly different. Open this up, and I will open my Bower.json file. And inside of here, if I look, instead of getting that little drop down here, you get this here. All the same commands, basically. It just looks ever so slightly different. And also remember that you can get various output here. So if I say, let's go ahead and do Bootstrap again here. Bootstrap. And this loads up real fast. Save that. And right here, you can immediately see in our output window, everything that happened kind of on the back end here. It's cached, validated, pulled everything down, bam, good to go.
It's amazing.
Really fast. Yeah, the tooling's great.
Yeah. Okay, so is that it?
Last thing we'll talk about, deploying your packages. Deploying your packages you can do by literally one line. If you create your own package, you can install them at the command line through a simple Bower register, the name of the project you want to register, and some Git endpoint.
So I have like publishing it to the repository?
Publishing it to the repository. You say, hey, this is great. I want to publish this to the outside world. The requirements are, I'm going to not publish this because I already published this package. If you have something out on GitHub, for example, I'll show you one that I published out there. You need to use the semantic versioning, as Jeremy mentioned, so like 1.0.0. And the way you do that is you push your changes up to Git, you commit them, push them, and then you just simply come in and do it. You add a tag of 1.0.0 and tie that to your release, and that's all you need. That way, right? Because Git is a backend for Bower. That's how your packages are managed. So that's all you need. Ta-da.
And then I'll just mention that for NPM, publishing is likewise easy. You simply, first of all, at the command line there, you need to be logged in. So you do an NPM add user, enter, and it'll ask you for your username and get you signed in. And then it'll remember that, again, in one of those .rc files, in the .npmrc file, it'll remember you and have your authentication key in there. And then if you want to publish a package, you have to make sure you have a package JSON and that it has a name and a version, a valid Semver version. And if it does, it's just simply npm publish.
Cool. One last thing, and this is kind of, you might think of this as a change in thinking here. So this last slide on storing packages in source control. When we looked at NuGet, we basically said, hey, you don't want to store your binary in source control. And typically, for most projects that I do, I don't want to store any of my node components or my Bower components in source control either. But there is some interesting debates on this that go back and forth. One of the maintainers of Bower, Andre Cruz, said, really, if your project is medium large in size, then, and if you don't want to rely on the package manager, commit. In other words, who knows what the future of the world might be? This is a huge staked project. We want to make sure that we control everything, because that way it's all in our environment, regardless of what happens on the outside world or the future of these projects. We have everything in source control that we need, snapshot in time of a version of everything. On the other hand, if you don't want to have these huge repositories, you kind of believe in the future of the ecosystem and these tools being available to you, then don't publish them and just restore. Yeah. So two different ways of thinking about it.
Yeah. What's the next module?
Next module, we've got after lunch, because we're going to break for lunch now.
Meal break.
What's that?
Meal break.
Meal break, yes. Because it's not always lunch for some of the other folks. We've got a lot of folks.
We're all over the world today.
All over the world today. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about Grunt and Gulp. And then you're going to do a portion on there on?
Deploying to Azure.
Yes, very good. So we'll see you in 1 hour.
10 minutes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 hour meal break. Thank you.
1 hour meal break.
See ya.